You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
At 8:06 on this Monday morning, August 25th, nice to have you here. Coming up later this hour, State Representative Francesca Hong from Madison, and we're going to talk about her odometer. Which definitely indicates she's been places other than Madison, and talking to people about the 2026 election and the qualities to look for in candidates. Maybe anything she'd like to be doing differently in 2026. We'll talk to her in just a bit, along with John and Gordy from our Madison station, WMDX, in moments. But first, Brittany Merlot has got a forecast for us. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, John and Gordy are here too. And John and Gordy, we're comparing notes, and clearly y'all had a different weather weekend than me, and I don't know if there was like one little black rain cloud hovering over the Chippewa Valley or what, but there was like wind chills and squalls and all that. What are you guys looking so happy about?
It was beautiful here.
Yeah, we
I don't know what you're complaining
day,
about.
Yeah.
We had great weather both days.
It's
gorgeous again today. No, Brittany, it was really nice.
Brittany, where did I go wrong? Is there
following you? No, you're right. You're right. We did have those blasts of showers, crazy winds with them too. A lot of overcast, cloudy skies up north throughout the weekend.
Yep.
So I get why you're complaining. I, however, didn't mind it. It was like hiking weather. Get outside and enjoy it. Go mountain biking, do some stuff and not sweat. That's what I liked. But now we're all rocking the flannels out here this morning. 37 degrees in Hayward still right now. It is the coldest spot in the state. The rest of us are in the upper 40s to mid 50s. It's bright. It's beautiful. It's blue skies out there. No wildfire smoke. Still got a northwest breeze, making it very comfortable. Highs today hitting about the mid 60s. That's about 10 to 15 degrees below where we should be right now. So a little blast of fall-like weather here. We are going to be going a little bit warmer tomorrow, just a few degrees into those upper 60s to low 70s, and then a little bit warmer into Wednesday, maybe some low to mid 70s. But by Wednesday night, we're looking at a cold front moving through again, which is going to spark some more rain chances. So wet weather Wednesday night cools us down a little bit into Thursday and Friday, back to hovering around 70 or so. And then as we go into the weekend, Labor Day weekend, we are going to warm things up, mid-70s to upper 70s, and we are going to hit the 80s by next week. So summer weather isn't gone. We've just got a little break from it. Open those windows. Get that breeze in. Oh, my gosh, it's so nice. I'm loving it.
So I had to close my windows because it was getting so cold in this place over the weekend. Yes. Tony's over here saying Pat needs to do more mountain biking. Pat's perfectly happy where he is right here and just gets paid to complain about the weather. So that totally works for me. Although I like your attitude, rocking the flannel. Not
you too.
I had to put on a long sleeve shirt this morning. It was rocking the flannel. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it much. Talk to you tomorrow. John and Gordy are here from our Madison station, WMDX. Catch them 6 to 8 if you're in the Madison area or on the Civic Media app, guys. So clearly you had a better weather weekend down there.
Yeah. And the forecast looks fantastic. Go out and buy some more brats and get ready for some more great, beautiful, sunny, cool days.
Yeah. Grilling
this
weather.
Is my favorite time of the year. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been very blessed that both my daughters, as they became adults and left the nest, and now they're in different states and everything, but there's always been at least one period every summer for these past, 12 years, whatever it's been that we've been empty nesters, that one or both of them come, and if they come differently, they still overlap. So at some point we've had everybody here under one roof, and it was looking like that might not happen this year, but it actually is going to happen this week coming up for Labor Day weekend, which is nice. But I bring that up to say maybe part of my grousing about the weather is, you know, obviously we're going to be doing pontoon rides and things like that, which is a lot easier in the 80s than, say, the upper 60s.
Yeah.
Where you have, hey, this is really refreshing, isn't it, kids? Like Jacques Cousteau on the Arctic Ocean, you know, doing some exploring. But we will try to make the best.
Well, congratulations, Pat, because you're one of the very first boaters that actually considers that. About the people and passengers they have on their boats, because some go out there in the bitter cold and say, hey, let's go out in that boat and have some fun.
Sure.
I'm sitting there suffering and freezing to death, you know, with water splashing on me. And you're at least, you're at least, I guess, considerate of the people on that pontoon boat of yours.
Well, definitely, because if you hit the wave the wrong way and you end up, you know, splashing everybody, you never hear the end of it. So, you know, you try to be a good boater out there.
You've
but of course,
purposely though.
I used to back in the day when we had more of a like a deck boat and we'd pull the girls and their friends went on the inner tubes, you know, behind the boat. Mm-hmm. And I look back now. In horror, the kind of dad that I was, the ones where they're where as you're pulling them on the tube and you're thinking, oh, this is fun, this is very nice, and you look back at them and they're yawning at you. They're like goading you, like, come on, dad.
Yeah.
And so of course, okay, I'll show you what dad can do. They whip it a few times, throw them so far off the tube that Child Protective Services really should have shown up at
they're
that
waiting
point.
On shore.
Yeah. And yet they still laugh about it because, you know, if you didn't break a limb, you had a good time, I guess, you know?
Well, you know, I'd go by their advice. You know, kids are always so good with judgmental things like that, you know?
Yes. You can't do it on the roads. No, you can't really drive faster, Dad.
Well, I used to do it on the road, so I guess maybe I was more dangerous.
Oh, that would make everybody scream. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. What do you guys do for fun and excitement over the weekend?
Well, let's see. Our weekend really began with the Madison Night Market on Thursday night. Uh-huh. And that was great.
That was cool and breezy.
Again, weather was wonderful. It couldn't have been better. And we had a big crowd here in downtown Madison walking up and down State Street, visiting all the booths. And our booth was well attended. And we
had a lot of street musicians down here, too.
We saw our old friend Art Paul Schlosser, who's sort of a Madison institution. He's been a busker, you know, street musician since the 70s, I think.
Oh, yeah.
At least. And so he's always out there. And he wrote us a song just for us, for John and Gordy.
Yeah.
Right on the spot.
could you pull that up? You don't mind hearing just a piece of it, you know?
Now, he's kind of eccentric. He's a little different. And so do we have that, Dom? He's looking for it.
Okay.
He's got it
right here. Let's check
listen just a little bit. Yeah. He's a little different.
You get an idea.
Okay.
Dan and Gordy in the morning. Is this a threat or is this a warning? Dan and Gordy in the morning. Who will be their guest? What will they be performing? Dan and Gordy in the morning. Are they funny or are they boring?
There you go. So, you know,
he's very much in the moment.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that he stuck the landing on that one. Are they funny or boring? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
You know, if he's going to do that, he's got to end it with a flourish because most people don't understand when you're singing the national anthem, it actually ends with a question. Can you imagine if we all sang it as if it were a question at the end? You know, say, does that Star Spangled Banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave?
That's interesting. Yeah, put that accent on it.
I know. So you got to stick that thing. So I'm sure it's being workshopped. There will be many more songs will be sung.
Art Paul, you know, he's written so many songs. He's actually been featured. Was it on Jimmy Kimmel?
I think
it was.
Yes.
They had some sort of contest, and he sent in some stuff, and they featured him on the show.
You guys literally are living the phrase "minstrels will sing songs of you." That you've already got that going for you.
That's it. Yeah. It's funny because Gordy went across the street, held his phone up, recorded him, and he did that song ad lib.
Yeah. See, I love that with the ones that can like on Whose Line Is It Anyway or any improv stuff when they can do a song like that, because you're not only, you know, looking for the rhymes and matching the music, but by the way, you should be funny in the process. You know, Wayne Brady was always famous for that. on Whose Line.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling with that comedy club downstairs there, the building that you're in at the top of State Street, you've probably heard a few people that can improv music with the best of them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they come through quite often, but back to Art Paul, you know, he's a prolific songwriter. Let's put it that way. He's written lots and lots of things. But Madison being a music town, some of the musicians here have picked out some of the songs that he's written and produced them, you know, at a real recording studio. And it's actually a really good CD with some of the best of Madison musicians taking some of his kind of odd lyrics and putting them to really good music and made a great CD.
That's right. Yeah. You can hear that on Spotify. It's got a whole bunch of stuff there.
See, the closest we get to that is, you know, after several drinks, somebody will play touch tunes on their phone and we'll all drunkenly yell out the lyrics to American Pie, you know, for 12 minutes.
Well, whatever works for you.
Whatever talent you can get here. Talking to John and Gordy from down in Madison. I've been meaning to ask you about a story that was in the Isthmus newspaper down there a couple of weeks back. And just about the headline is Epic Employees. Epic is the big medical records company down there. And I don't know how many people work for Epic, but Epic employees flood Madison's dating scene. And the chances that if you, swipe right, you're going to land on someone who is a coworker, and how tough that is when you've got a great big company town, which maybe people don't think of Madison as a company town, but when it comes to Epic, I mean, you guys can't shake a stick without hitting an Epic employee, I would imagine.
That's right. Most of these high rises, the new high rises, are occupied by Epic employees. It's true. They're all over. They're not just in Verona where Epic is located, but they're really in every part of our city, especially downtown.
Yeah,
I think they even have shuttles that go out to Epic.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
And I can't imagine, because I don't know that there's a company policy on it, but you know, dating coworkers, that's fraught with peril wherever you go.
Yeah.
And you know, especially
the best way to meet somebody though, I think. I'm sorry. No. I like to break the rules, you know.
You got to find a friend somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Plus it also says Epic's campus headquarters, it's 1,100 acres.
Yeah.
And I've got to think that, you know, it's not like you're dating the person in the cubicle right next to you, right?
No,
I mean, if
right,
you've got,
exactly.
If you've got that many employees, it's fine.
A fantasy land out there, Pat.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they have castles out there. They have barns where they have offices in barns that they built specifically for Epic. I mean, it is a gorgeous place. It's like Disneyland.
Yeah. I think you can take tours, right?
They have tours down there.
Yeah. And the thing about Epic, too, is the thing that I've learned in the last couple of years is these Epic employees, they come in, they pay them a lot of money. I mean, they get paid very, very well for what they do. And a lot of it's software, medical software kind of thing.
But the thing is,
they don't last that long. They get burned out very quickly, so they have a high turnover rate.
Yeah.
They might stay a year and a half, 2 years, and then they're on to some other, you know, high-paying, high-tech job. So there's a lot of turnover.
Well, then that way, I mean, the dating scene is like, oh, gee, I got to go. I got transferred. So sorry.
Exactly.
Look what time it is. My plane is leaving. So
right.
I guess it'll work for them. We're talking to John and Gordy from our Civic Media Station in Madison, WMDX. And coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong about the 2026 campaign and what's a legislator from Madison doing traveling all across the state. We'll be talking to her about that in just a little bit. First, a reminder that the Brewers lost to the San Francisco Giants 4-3. Trevor McGill with another blown save, but hopefully we'll get a chance to turn things around in this Arizona series. Arizona coming to town for 4 games, starting this evening at 6:05 for the pregame. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News on social media. We're now on Blue Sky, also Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and the Dumpster Fire, formerly known as Twitter. Just search for Up North News WI when doing so. We're catching up with John and Gordy down in Madison, and we'll talk a bit about one of the common themes this morning everywhere across the state was the celebration of life for Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. And guys, I mean, I knew it was appointment viewing for me. I really enjoyed watching that ahead of the game. Was it something you guys got a peek at as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
yeah, saw some of the highlights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't watch it while it was happening, but I did see some of the things that they had with Bob Uecker, or yeah. Bob Costas talking with Robin Yount. That was really
and you gotta really think something. You got to think, too, a couple of days ago in Wrigley Field, they had Bob Uecker doing the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, they had video
as
of
a
that.
Tribute to that. That was a wonderful moment. And now, of course, the Brewers put out on X a post that read, "We dedicate today to a larger-than-life legend, a baseball icon, the voice of Brewers baseball forever, Bob Uecker." And I have audio from that. You want to listen to it?
Yeah, let's give a listen.
All right.
Yelich sends one to right center and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Yelich!
To me, Bob Uecker just symbolizes the joy of summer.
Sitting on our front porch and bringing up a little transistor radio and dialing up the old AM station.
83 beautiful degrees at game time tonight. Here it is, strike called,
and we are underway.
Cooking out brats and hamburgers with family and friends, just always on in the background, and became a familiar part of the family.
Swing of the liner, base hit to left, and there it is!
Summer's out fishing, and there's my dad, and there's Bob on the radio calling the game. His little side stories that he would go on. That's where the magic was.
If you didn't enjoy baseball, then you didn't like sliced bread either.
Brewers head for Arizona on their up-and-coming trip. Out there, you can hold a hot dog out your car window and cook it.
Can't hit a curveball with four baseball bats and a tennis racket, too.
All you got to do is turn the dial, and Uecker was always there. Through the radio, I felt like I was literally there. Through the emotion, the passion, excitement in the call.
We're going to smash up the middle. Base hit to center.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being Brewer fans. And we'll get together again.
There it is.
Wow. I mean, again, the man was just the soundtrack of summer. And again, even if the team wasn't doing well, and there were many years where the team was not doing well, but
people listened to Bob.
You wanted to hear Bob. You wanted to hear the stories. You still liked baseball as a soundtrack, but I know Bob would also tell you it's a lot better when they're winning.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, sure.
Well, there was a great combination of Bob Uecker, and I'm not sure who the other announcer was at the time, but they had great stories, great conversations, even when the Brewers were doing horribly or the game was kind of in a lull. They had great stories.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, Bob Uecker was teamed with Pat Hughes for a long time.
Yes.
Before Pat Hughes became the voice of the Cubs. So it was always great when the Brewers and the Cubs played because they would go into each other's booths, you know, and visit with each other. And they both had terrific stories.
And Corey,
just always
Corey,
fun to listen to. Yeah.
Corey Provost was another partner who now is the voice of the Twins. And again, has had had some emotional stories that he told, remembering Bob. One of the things I learned in the tribute was he was the only person with the Brewers in any way, shape, or form who parked inside the stadium. He had a spot inside for his Corvette. Yeah, wow. Everybody else kind of had to walk in from the lot, but he was right there, and then he'd head right into the locker room because he had a locker that was at his insistence. He had a locker room right there by the door, so first locker was for Uke, so
that's
that
he
could talk to the players.
Gordy was talking about the fact that you could check out Bob Uecker anytime with Johnny Carson.
Oh yeah, my God!
Just go to the
so
YouTube.
Good.
They're hilarious.
Of course, I watched a lot of Johnny Carson growing up, and I always loved when he was just, you know, because I didn't grow up in Wisconsin proper. So he was just this funny guy. Whenever he was a regular, you always looked forward to this guy because this, and it wasn't, yes, they were stories, but it was more the almost Jack Benny, like deadpan,
yes,
retorts to what Johnny was saying that was so good.
Self-effacing humor.
Yes, and we're very fortunate that we can look those up on YouTube now.
Didn't he have like plaid jackets?
He had all the wild sports coats. Yeah,
you know what? And that reminds me, I really want to tip my cap to the folks at FanDuel Sports Network, because first I noticed it on Sophia Minert, who is just an amazing reporter, and she had this sleeveless denim dress on, and you could tell while it was denim, it had like this blue plaid in it. To kind of like be a nod to Euchre's suits. Well, then they show the guys up in the booth, you know, BA and Rock, and they too are in these kind of, so you can tell they were, I don't know who designed them or what, but they also had these blue suits with just a subtle plaid to it, you know, that it was obviously a one-time only thing, but, you know, I noticed it, and I'm sure other people did too. That was a great little tribute for a guy who, you know, a little bit of the 70s will always live with us through Bobby Hurst's wardrobe, you know.
And all those great Miller Lite commercials too. You know, it's just, you treasure those, you know, to look back at them.
And I remember one of the stories that got told yesterday was he was very nervous. He did not want to do that because the team at the time had a contract with Pabst and with Schlitz for advertising. We sometimes forget Miller was like number three in Milwaukee, you know, for back in the days when Schlitz and Pabst were the kings, not the king of beers. That's somebody else. And we're not going to worry about that. John and Gordy, you can catch them on our Madison station, WMDX, weekdays from 6 to 8. Guys, always appreciate the Monday visits. Hope you have a great start to the week.
Yeah, we're filling in tonight on Nightlight for Peachwaka tonight and tomorrow night. So if you want to listen to us, tune in.
6 o'clock, tune on in. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk to State Representative Francesca Hong about next year and the direction that she hopes Wisconsin voters take our state in. That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can sign up for our Unabashedly Wisconsin News through our newsletters, a weekday version and a Sunday morning version that I put out on political matters, mostly Wisconsin, but some national as well. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. The question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter this time around, should Wisconsin keep or get rid of mail-in voting? And I just wanted to get a feel for how many folks agree with President Donald Trump, who said that Vladimir Putin told him that with mail-in voting, you can't have a fair election. And so Trump wants to get rid of it, I guess. And how do you feel about it? Now, there are a couple of folks that are not big fans of early in-person voting or of drop boxes. But what about mail-in voting? Is it too open? You know, in the olden days, you had to have like a doctor's note to be able to vote by mail. Where are you on it these days? We're getting a lot of responses in and want yours as well. Radio@upnorthnewswi.com is the email address, but you'll get that question first off the bat if you sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter, where we talk about what's happening in the political world, what's happening with your legislator, what's happening with our elections. And to help us continue that conversation on this Movement Monday, we've got State Representative Francesca Hong here from Madison. Fran, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. I started off the show by saying you can sometimes gauge what a candidate is up to by their social media feed. But if you really want to know what they're up to, check their odometer. And it's clear that you've put some miles on since the state budget was passed and we're in a lull between sessions here right now. And as I've told you from, you know, my time as a legislator, you know, we're going back 15 years here now, but there were definitely legislators that, you know, did not leave their zip code by and large, but it's been refreshing to see how many legislators are willing to go across the state to try to help, you know, win back seats that they don't currently hold, or just to talk to other events as well. So it certainly looks like you have had a very busy summer that way.
Yes, I think it's really important for legislators across the state, regardless of zip code, to be talking to Wisconsinites that aren't in their district. And I think what I found, and other legislators will tell you the same, is that we're hearing a lot about the same issues, especially when it comes to public education. I was in Adams a couple weeks ago and met a special education educator who was just really disappointed about this budget process and talked to me about special education reimbursement. The same thing when I was up in Eau Claire a couple of weeks ago as well. So regardless of zip code, public education is on folks' mind. And I know that it is an issue that unites communities. And we know when public education is strong, I definitely know in my heart that the community is strong.
Along with those travels, of course, we've got campaign-related events that are going on as well. We saw Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders was in Wisconsin over the weekend campaigning for Becca Cook, one of three Democrats running in the 3rd Congressional District. You have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who's announced for the governor's race. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley says he's going to announce at some point. We have two Republicans in the race so far. I rather thought that we might actually see kind of a wave of candidates for governor early on. And I don't think that's materialized yet. And now I'm starting to wonder, will the field, you know, be as large as it was in 2018 or not? And again, it's just complete speculation on my part, but with a wide open governor's race, how do you think that the Democratic field is going to look, and what do you want to see in that field?
Well, I think primaries, crowded primaries, are very Democratic. I'm hoping that there will be a candidate who will be bold, who, regardless of zip code, is exciting a crowd, but also deeply understanding of the issues and is presenting solutions, making sure folks understand how important it is to reimagine, that we have to have a sense of reclaiming what was rightfully ours in terms of progressive values, where that started here, championing conservation. And so I'm hoping that there will be a candidate who not only is progressive in terms of legislation, but understands how important it is to unite communities around the state on issues that they care about, like public education. I know legalizing marijuana is always top of mind for some folks, and I think it's really important to talk about how people can save money and have the state take on some of the costs when it comes to school meals. I know that universal school meals as well is one thing that we're really going to have to keep an eye on and push for as we're seeing this Trump regime gut snap and other programs that keep our children healthy as well as takes care of our elders.
Fran Hong is a state representative from the Madison area, and you're also a co-signer of the letter that was put out that we talked to just last hour with John Shelton, the president of AFT Wisconsin, and State Senator Chris Larson as well, which really called for the next Democratic nominee for governor to have a real focus on workers and especially union labor as a part of the workforce. Do you want to say other things about why you chose to co-sign that statement and what it says about those qualities we want to see in a governor next year?
One of the goals that I have, and something that I hope more and more Wisconsinites understand, is that government can be a force of good. And I'm excited when we have the Democratic trifecta in the legislature to just show how bold, progressive, and transformative legislation can be to deliver and change people's lives quickly. And so in terms of ensuring that reducing the prison population, and closing Green Bay Correctional Institute, ensuring that our public schools are adequately funded, that we expand the rights and salaries of educators and make sure all students have their needs met. I think it's incredibly important that folks understand that it is the state government that can really make a difference in their lives, much more for the better, that better is possible. And it's, I think that letter, the reason it was important for me to support it is because it allows folks to really take into heart and think about what is possible and what can government do to actually strengthen our communities, give us more opportunities, and really give us the opportunity to take care of ourselves and our loved ones.
You know, when you get to these issues, that you mentioned already the disconnect that there is in the current Republican legislative majority. And last week we had Matt Rothschild and Marisa Straino on from New America talking about the push for more citizen-led ballot initiatives, something that we can't do in Wisconsin right now. Mm-hmm. And when New America looked at all the states and said which ones would be of the 26 states or so that don't have ballot initiatives, you know, which one would be most ripe to adopt that, they pointed to Wisconsin because of not just the partisan divide, but also the divide between who's running the legislature versus the public's issues. I feel like in every Marquette poll, we see public support for all these issues, and yet it's a Republican legislature that is essentially ignoring the will of the voters. I'm sure that that's lots of fodder for what Democrats are going to be talking about next year.
I think we have had a majority party Republicans who are more interested in serving their billionaire donors, maintaining and I would say hoarding power, and they've ignored the will of the people and oftentimes the law of the land. And so it's, I think, the ballot initiatives are a way to maintain democracy and ensure that we are protecting everyone's freedom, especially their economic security. Because when you have lawmakers who are prioritizing the issues and what their billionaire donors are telling them, especially when it comes to tax fairness and economic security and how folks are taking care of themselves, it really is a detriment to democracy. It's a detriment to democracy. And a lot of folks, especially those in smaller communities, their voices get smaller and smaller. And we know that we especially need the folks in smaller communities to be louder about the issues they face, especially when they're so similar to the ones that suburban and urban communities are facing as well.
State Representative Francesca Hong is our guest here, Democrat from Madison. And now that we've talked all about, you know, the potential out there for, you know, what we look for in candidates in the coming year, Tony puts a comment up on YouTube, and I think he's getting frustrated with me here. He says, "What's happening with Fran?" Well, I'm just setting the table here, Tony. Don't worry, I'm going to get to it. Fran, what are your plans for next year?
Right now, I am laser focused on ensuring that we have a Democratic trifecta, a bold, progressive, and exciting Democratic governor, and a legislature that has a Senate and Democrat, Senate and Assembly trifecta. I'm sorry, the Senate and Assembly have majority Democrats. And again, this is about ensuring that we are delivering for Wisconsinites. And so I hope that other folks are ensuring that the Assembly in particular has strong candidates and that we are investing in those candidates to make sure that we can take back the 5 seats that we need for a majority in the Assembly.
Could you conceivably see yourself as one of those candidates for governor or for one of these other posts that appear to be opening up as other people jump into various races?
I think right now it's about ensuring folks know what the legislature and government is has the ability to do in our state, whether it's those ballot initiatives or ensuring that folks across different communities have their needs met, especially when it comes to long-term care and elder care, as well as care for those with disabilities. The care economy is something that all candidates and should be talking about. And I think it's important that, especially what's going on with privatization of nursing homes, what's going on with our disinvestment in childcare and public K-12 public education, that we work towards a more caring Wisconsin and let folks know that better is possible when we have a legislature that is bold, progressive, and willing to ensure that folks, regardless of zip code, have the ability to care for themselves and their loved ones.
And so I'm quite certain going to still be on the road. You've been at several events already. And it's a theme that we hit again last hour with John Shelton of, you know, what can people do right now? And that certainly would include either attending or organizing events mm-hmm. where a legislator like yourself might hit the road and show up.
I'm so glad you talk about, you mentioned organizing, Pat. Community organizing right now, especially when it comes to developing groups that are going to commit to mutual aid, making sure folks have strong neighborhood associations where people understand what some of their neighbors' needs are. I think, you know, gatherings and making sure folks have a, you know, are thinking about how important block parties are right now. All of this is resistance, and community organizing is one of the ways, especially at a hyper-local level, that we can continue to grow power and push back against the fascist regime that is coming down from Washington, as well as the hoarding of power and harming of our communities that's been done by Robin Voss and a Republican-led legislature.
State Representative Francesca Hong from Madison spending some time with us. Fran, it's always so great to catch up. And I know you've got other events coming up. You're being a guest chef at places. And so thanks for making a little time at home to visit with us today.
Pat, always love spending time with y'all here at Up North News. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. On this Movement Monday, we should also tell you that there are things on the calendar that you can choose to be a part of. AFT Wisconsin, for example, has a Fighting Back event with Randy Weingarten, president of AFT. The national president is going to be in Eau Claire at the public library coming up this Wednesday afternoon. We'll visit with Jane Matinair coming up, and a few final news and notes items from Lake Wissota after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair coming up in just a sec. First, tomorrow's guests include Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media, founder of the Recombobulation Area. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW-TV in Rhinelander, and much more tomorrow here on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can also sign up for our daily newsletter at Up North News. Just head to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. One of the stories today talks about Wisconsin Dells being known as the water park capital of the world, but there's a different attraction making waves. See what we did there? It's a five-acre lake that uses rocks and plants and fish and bacteria to clean itself naturally, totally free of chemicals. A very unusual water attraction at Wisconsin Dells. You can read more about it in our newsletter there. All right, let's touch base with Jane Matinair, who hosts the lovely program after this. I mean, we're like the thorn that gives way to the rose at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 11, with the ever-fragrant Greg Bach joining Jane as well. Jane, good morning. How are you?
I am great, Mr. Kreitlow. Monday. I heard you, because I always listen to you when I'm driving in the morning. Oh. And it was chilly in Lake Wissota this morning.
Oh, my. It's 54 now. Okay. So we're not in the upper 30s anymore, like Hayward and other places were. But, and then, of course, it's Monday, like you said. The brain wasn't fully engaged. And poor Parker was so confused as I kept talking about this Polar Express when I meant to say Polar Vortex.
This guy, and I think he was testing me.
I
just
don't know.
To see if you're paying attention, Parker. Make sure you're not wandering off somewhere.
Again, there's only so much coffee on board at that point. So I knew what I was talking about. All that big cold air from Canada that sneaks down here every so often. Comes across the border. We need a wall.
This is my weather. Today is going to be such a beautiful day. Again, we're in southeastern Wisconsin, so we're probably 20 degrees warmer than you are. But even this morning when I was coming in, it was only 62. So it's just nice to open up the windows and get some fresh air through the house again.
I get it. I don't want summer to end just yet.
We're going to have, there's 80 degree temperatures in our future. We can have beautiful Septembers, beautiful Octobers.
And again, it just makes me appreciate seasons. When I spent those 3 years living on Grand Cayman, you know, you think, oh, life's a beach, you go to the beach every day, blah blah blah. Yeah, it's got its pluses, don't get me wrong, but you do miss seasons. And you come back here And I recall one of my first visits back, we'd been on Grand Cayman for about 4 months or so. And we came back and it was, October. And it was one of the mornings just like this. And when you've been in triple digit heat indexes, for weeks at a time.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Does this feel glorious? This is amazing.
Yeah. Just the colors. A friend and I are planning to go to Prairie du Chien at the beginning of October. And we're going to do a little trip up the Mississippi River. And just the colors we have in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's so beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you've got the Great River Road going up and down the Mississippi. So many lovely attractions to see there as well. If you go out, if you get out, some people stay home all weekend and do things like, weeding with the exciting life that you lead, Jane. I mean, couldn't you get a goat to do that?
I'm afraid it would kill the goat. there were so many, and maybe, I don't know if I'm the only one, but things show up in my garden. It's like, how did you get here? Mm-hmm. I know I didn't plant you. I know, squirrels will move things and seeds fly through the air and all this stuff. But I weeded along our alley path over the weekend, and we had this form of nightshade show up out of nowhere. Pat, that stuff was 4.5 feet tall.
Oh, my.
I needed a shield and a sword and a flamethrower and a sickle to attack that. It took me at least 2 hours, and then I was in pain through yesterday.
Is it, are we just talking like digging them up, or are we
digging them up?
Okay.
Digging them
up. We're not like squirting them with things that are going to make you glow in the dark.
They were this big.
Okay. You can't squirt those.
You can't squirt those. It's just going to look at you and laugh.
Well, okay. Which again, takes me back to the goat. So, it is an option. Or can you pay a kid a quarter or something like that?
We talked about this a little bit on the show, and a gentleman shared that they make weed flamethrowers.
Weed flamethrowers. Oh, that doesn't sound even a little dangerous.
I know. What could go wrong with the weed flamethrower and the wooden fence?
Burning your house down, things like that.
As tempting as that is, I think I may have to keep myself away from the flamethrower.
Okay. What have you got coming up on the show today?
We are going to talk to Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman is going to join us. THC in Wisconsin is everywhere, and yet how much is it regulated? So that's an ongoing discussion. We'll talk to Shelley coming up after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, the Wisconsin Policy Forum looked at apprenticeships in Wisconsin, which are on the rise and growing. So we're going to learn about that. Audio sorbet today. We were kicking this around before we went on the air. Today's audio sorbet is going to be a food gripe, and this is cracker edition. We got into an argument about the best cracker, Pat.
Oh, actually, yes, I could see that happening.
Thins, yep. Triscuits, Ritz crackers,
yep.
Very passionate opinions. Who knew
all right.
about crackers? So our audio sorbet after the 10:30 news.
Crackers to cleanse the palate.
Crackers, cracker edition.
Love it.
Coming up, yes.
Thank you, Jane. Have a great
Appreciate
day.
Appreciate it. Good to see all you, right. Pat.
Good to see you as well.
Bye, Parker.
And Parker,
bye.
See you. Bye. Thanks to Parker and to Brittany Merlot and to John Shelton and to Francesca Hong, Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Jimmy Koska, John and Gordy. Goodness, we had a busy one today. And we're just going to do it all over again tomorrow and hope that you come along for the ride. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. Up North News is the digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media or sign up for our newsletters. Head to the website, upnorthnewswi.com. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early, here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.